joining us on the line, Rolene Marks. Rolene, a very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. And despite like all the controversy and, you know, me having to wear my Kevlar and helmet so early in the morning, you know, one should always accessorize one's morning coffee with Kevlar.
Absolutely.
All ready to dive in.
All right, so let's talk about this controversial issue. Late yesterday or yesterday afternoon, we started seeing reports that Israel has in fact denied entry to the two U.S. Democrats who were due to, I think, travel there this weekend. And that is, of course, Tlaib and Omar. And they have been quite vocally anti-Israel, both supporting the BDS movement, but nevertheless, the response has been quite dramatic. Give us a sense of what's happened.
Okay, so in Israel, there is a lot of mixed response. Some people say, you know, good riddance. They had no intention to hear our side of the story, and they had no intention of coming here, in fact, at all. You know, and if you look at the itinerary actually didn't talk about coming into Israel, meeting with Israeli officials, trying to get an understanding of both sides of the story, which is what led to the ban in the first place. The other, and it's probably the majority of Israelis I'm speaking to, are saying that they should have been allowed in. They should have been allowed in for a variety of reasons. We are a democracy. Many Israelis feeling that it's the Trump administration or Trump himself, perhaps maybe bullying or pressurizing Netanyahu into putting the ban in place. Some saying that, you know, there might have been a glimmer of something, you know, even if it's just to come in and see a result of what happened in Jerusalem yesterday, when two young Arabs stabbed an Israeli police officer. You know, maybe there's just something that could have triggered hope. You know, it's always that Israeli, I think, audacity of hope, dare I quote Barack Obama, which is quite ironic. So a lot of mixed reactions to this, but, you know, we have to unpack this and take almost a big picture view of the whole thing. You know, when it was announced, I was against the ban. I don't think it's good. I don't think it puts Israel in a positive light. And I look at it from a different perspective. You know, very often we say, come and see for yourself. Come and see the situation for yourself. We have nothing to hide. We're not perfect. I don't think there is any country that's without its flaws or its faults. We are certainly not one of them. Also, understanding the type of characters that we are dealing with here. Yes, they traffic in a lot of anti-Semitism. I mean, Tlaib has even invoked the Nazis in her defense. However, these two women, and in fact, let's throw in AOC, because no sooner had the ban been announced than Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has also gone on the Twitter offensive, playing, of course, the gender card, playing the race card, which I think was going to be an inevitable reaction. And so I look at it maybe from the public diplomat's perspective, because very often it's the public diplomat who have to kind of justify and clean up the mess that has happened. I think these two knew they would be banned. Because Israel is quite public with our law that bans BDS activists. Having said that, the United States also have laws that ban anybody who supports terror organizations from entering, and they banned an Israeli lawmaker who they said showed very, very extreme view. So that has been done on the U.S. side as well.
Look, it's certainly done in South Africa. South Africa decided that the Dalai Lama shouldn't get a visa in order to travel to South Africa, because the Dalai Lama opposes China and China is a trade partner of South Africa. So nobody really is in a position to point fingers. But I don't know that that's in inverted commas, a defense of it, because Israel does hold itself to a very high standard.
Well, this is it. You know, it's every country's sovereign right to deny anybody who they deem as a threat. But we also can't ignore the fact that whether we like it or not, these are two congresswomen that represent the Democratic Party. And we've also got to look at it in the context of Israel and American Jewry relations. And a lot of the pro-Israel groups, including AIPAC, I must just add, have condemned the decision to ban entry. The AJC, AIPAC, they've condemned the decision. The Simon Wiesenthal Center saying that perhaps they should have come with the Democratic
Party. Well, I find that interesting. You know, I never thought of that until I read that statement, because the point is this, is that there were 70 Democrat or 70 representatives, I don't know if they were all Democrats or if it was bipartisan, who came to visit Israel in the last week. Why didn't they come with? Why did they have to have their own trip? Because and the answer is very simply twofold. One is that they didn't want an agenda that actually even met with Israel, because we know that the itinerary had absolutely no engagement with Israel at all. Even the heading of the itinerary said visit to Palestine. It didn't say to Israel and Palestine. It didn't say to Israel. It said to Palestine. And they had zero interest on that itinerary. It was very, very clear that they were not going to meet with anyone in Israel. So where are you getting the other side from at view at all? Beulah says, do Israelis really think that Tlaib and Omar don't know the truth about Israel? Of course they do. The lies that they tell is a choice, and that's why they should have been banned. That's from Beulah. You know, I do get all of that, and part of me agrees with that so strongly. But the other part of me, which I think when you try and deal with this type of thing, and you people don't know what's really going on in Israel, and you say, you know what, you need to go there for yourself, I feel like, well, then the first thing they're going to say is, well, you know, if I'm allowed.
Well, this is exactly that, and they knew from the start the massive PR fallout that being banned from Israel would give them, and I think we're kind of playing into those hands. It's also they've also made this a partisan issue. And here I would challenge the Democratic Party, because we have heard from the Democratic Party who have said they shouldn't have been banned, they're members of the, they're congresswomen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the onus is on you, Nancy Pelosi. Onus is on you to actually reprimand these two, to tell them, you know, you can't claim you're congresswomen and members of a party on the one hand, and on the other hand, go off and do your own thing.
Well, I also love I love the fact that they say it's an insult to America. These are the same people that'll kneel during the anthem. You know, well, so that's okay. You know, it's quite incredible. Suddenly as Americans, they are deeply insulted. Oh, what a joke. You know.
Absolutely.
But
let's also take a look at another component of this. These two know very well, perhaps better than some of their other compatriots in Congress, how to play social media. They know who their audience is. They know their audience is not necessarily educated on nuance and complexity when it comes to this region. And that is where they take their battles to. They don't care as much of the traditional media. They don't care, you know, that we're going to sit and discuss this on radio. They care that their target audience is sitting on social media, on Twitter. How much of a component Facebook is, but that's where they take their battle. And their target audience is the young so-called woke millennium. Millennials who are very into issues of gender, issues of equality, and from that perspective, if you just look at that perspective, they look like two women of color, minorities, who have been banned by big, bad, racist Israel. And that's the card that they are playing. And by banning them, we've played right into that. I would have gone the other way. I would have let them in, and then I would have made an absolute campaign of the fact that they came and weren't prepared to see both sides. Are these two sincere about peace? No, they're not. This is why.
Yeah, the only way in which that I think it needs to be dealt with now is also, and I read the list last night of the countries that Israelis are not able to visit because they're Israelis. And that list is probably 9 or 10 countries, all, most of them are surrounding Israel, that Israelis are not allowed to visit. So, perhaps it's time to raise awareness for the banning of Israelis in 9 or 10 countries in the world, not because of anything that they've done, just because that they happen to hold a passport of the country called Israel.
Just as a point of interest, I'm an Israeli citizen. I hold only one passport, Israeli. I'm not allowed into the West Bank.
Yeah. Yeah,
I have to drive to Jerusalem on the 443 because the one is closed, guys. They're doing renovations. I have to drive there along signs that warn me for my personal safety against veering into the West Bank.
Yeah, Clive says he would have denied them access at Ben Gurion. I think that would have been a total disaster. You can turn them into real victims. And Austin Gibbs says, Howard, love the show and the chemistry between you and Rolene. Great broadcast into action. Shabbat shalom.